in a community with not only persistent rape, but a 20% higher rate of associated brutality resides. Could you cope with knowing that your mother is 10 times more likely than other women in this nation to meet the end of her days due to homicide? Would you find it democratic, egalitarian, or right for your love, your baby's mama, or your wife, who while being raped became 3 times more likely to be battered or murdered with a blunt object, gun, or knife, further defining the racial and cultural identity she, in contrast to her perpetrator, was born with and now lives by? For according to current statistics, the United States Department of Justice also finds 70% of these perpetrators, like Columbus's crew, remain both male and white. But this, no, this is not an attack upon you or you or you or you. I am not asking you to pick sides. No, I am instead presenting you with an opportunity to acknowledge that what I have just described is our American heritage that will be reconciled when coming to truth with the ways in which through our American heritage continues to be defined. Understanding that rape is inherent to colonialism removes the veil from our eyes, so we may better see the ongoing denial of indigenous women's basic human rights. This is a call to action to all women and mankind to not only acknowledge that rape of Native women is epidemic nationwide, but begin exploring the larger, harder questions of but how and why. Claim your part in this story, for every coin carries two sides. Where you can start is with our mistold history and American beliefs that over the centuries have normalized this violence Native women contend with when our fathers and sons choose them to sexually terrorize. We can no longer remain bystanders while the self-determination of Native women continues to be undermined. For the healing of their humanity measures the restoration of both yours and mine. Thank you.
Are you interested in Indigenous issues? Do you get ticked off with ongoing colonization? Do you have something to say? Or do you want to learn more? We have just the thing. Join UBC's first ever Indigenous Radio Collective at CITR Radio, Unceded Musqueam Territories. Our show, Unceded Airwaves, airs every Monday from 11 to 12, and we meet from 12 to 1 to plan our upcoming shows. We're interested in content covering various things from film to literature, current day politics, history, whatever you want to talk about, we're into it. Everyone welcome, Indigenous and non-Indigenous.
A stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for one.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
Do you want to go to a party with me?
No, the game's on.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'll be right there.
We like sports and we don't care who knows. From shooting hoops to the Super Bowl.
Do you like sports and don't care who knows? Then CITR Sports needs you. If you like sports, are into radio, or generally just want to have a great time, then come join us. Email our sports coordinator at sports101@citr.ca to find out more, or come by the station in the new sub. See you soon.
Watch, because I'm the man.
Need to talk? AMS Speakeasy offers free one-on-one, confidential, drop-in peer support sessions with trained volunteers. Our goal is to lend a listening ear and empower you to continue to strive towards wellness. Our services are available Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. during exam season. Support sessions can be requested at our desk on the main floor of the Nest or by ringing the doorbell outside our private space in room 3121. Learn more by visiting the AMS Speakeasy website. No issue is too big or too small. We're here to listen.
Marie Bernard, host of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello and welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and you might be watching this on YouTube or you might be listening on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, where we broadcast from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus. Or you might be listening on CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And today we are joined again by my friend Mr. 2020 from FreeNeville.com, and he is an expert in Neville Goddard and NLP and a bunch of other things. He's got like a black belt in martial arts and all of these things. He survived one of the biggest prison riots in American history and managed to recover from PTSD all through the use of all of these techniques that he practices and teaches others. So welcome to the show, Mr. 2020.
Hey, Marie, it's nice to see you again. You know, it's really cool. Every time we get together, the list of places where we're showing up at gets bigger.
Yay!
So I was telling my friends at the dog park today, I got a really cool show going on today. And they said, where's it at? And I'm thinking, well, where isn't it at? It's just Marie bounces it everywhere. So it's really cool to just be the blessing for so many cool people. And it's cool to see you again. It's been a little while.
It's been a while. Well, we've both been really busy.
Yeah. We've tried a couple times.
Yeah. You were remodeling your house, I think, a little bit.
You still have doing
been.
It. Yeah. It's a labor of love. Absolutely.
Well, today I wanted to talk about the concept of winning the lottery. I'm sure we won't spend the entire time talking about that, but I don't know if you want to start with that or what are you feeling guided to talk about today?
Cool. I you know, there's always something cool going on. So we'll dive into the lottery bit since that was the intro, and we'll just see where it goes. That's good. So my question is, we always get a lot of emails from people. Effectively, what we do is we live from a couple different beliefs, and one of them is everyone deserves to be free, and the way you feel determines what becomes real in your life. And that happens on a quote-unquote, let's say, magical, mystical level, as well as the mundane level. Yeah, so if I'm feeling cool talking to you, which I am, yeah, boom, here we go, we're having fun. But if I was feeling like, oh, I don't know about this or her radio or, yeah, suddenly everything changes, right? So what we feel becomes real so fast and on such mundane levels and also such miraculous levels that I want to begin there just with a little precept. So the thing is, people say, I want to hit the lottery. And so I'm imagining hitting the lottery. And then, of course, another question shows up, which is, well, if I'm imagining hitting it and you're imagining hitting it, you know, what happens? And it gets all head gamey there. And my question is, let's assume you want to hit the lottery.
Well, who doesn't?
Who doesn't, right?
Yeah.
what do you really want?
Ooh. Is this a rhetorical question or you want me to answer?
No, I don't do rhetoricals. You know that. Yeah, I hang up on people when they do rhetoricals on me. So what do you want? What do you really want?
Well.
By the way, notice you said lottery earlier and it was just a question. Mm-hmm. But we're asking you a question. What do you really want? And your physiology's gone. You get it? Immediately, you're entering some really yummy soup. And that really yummy soup is going to change what you think, what you do, what's possible for you. It makes you more attractive. Because we all know people that go, they have yucky soup. Right? And you see them walking down the street, and it's like, oh, let me see, I can jaywalk. This is cool. Jaywalk only costs me $90 if I get caught. If I bump into them, it's going to cost me a lot more than that. So, yeah, you get it? What do you really want? So let me ask you, what do you really want? Instead of the lottery, what do you really want?
Freedom.
That's a lovely word, isn't it?
Yeah, I want to be able to do what I want, when I want. I want to be able to experience life.
You can tell I've heard that part before, right?
Yeah, of course.
To make it really real, okay? I love freedom, by the way. FreeNeville.com isn't just about the fact you can get 221 free lectures and we've got 1,000 free articles. You can buy stuff, too. But there's a lot of free stuff there. But Free Neville isn't just free stuff. Free Neville is, we're talking about freedom here. We're talking about you being free. Right? Feeling free, living from a state of knowing that you create the freedom in your life. So what's your ideal day like?
My ideal day, wow.
By the way, your physiology's going yum, yum, yum. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't tell us, you're entertaining it now and you're letting it give to you right now while we're talking. See, this is part of my ideal day. Years ago, I imagined being able to get up, spend time with my lovely wife. We talked about getting dogs. Yeah, it'd be cool to like really behave with the dogs, you know, live with the dogs, not just take them out on the weekends, right? Or see them after 5. The ideal day has us getting up, doing something that we love that involves our web businesses, doing something that we love, taking our puppies to the park, doing something that we love. Here we go, building tribes. Yeah, helping people have more playtime and more playmates. This is where we're coming from. So your ideal day, again, notice how this it just keeps lighting you up, just the thoughts about it. You're sitting there going, ooh, yeah, wow. Yeah, that changes your life. When you can live from this, by the way, people try to change their thoughts all their time. And they try to monitor their thinking all the time. The only thing monitoring thinking is good for is you've driven a car, had a car, seen a car, right? When you get in a car, you notice it's got this fuel gauge. The fuel gauge is your thinking, right? The fuel gauge is your thoughts. So you don't get in there and try to move that needle. You look at it and you go, oh, my fuel gauge is low. Time to get a fill up. So when you notice your thoughts aren't in alignment with your ideal day, the ideal Marie, that's telling you don't change your thoughts. That's telling you to change your feelings. Notice where you're feeling from. Notice who you're being in the world. Do you get how massive you are? That's where we're talking about there. Notice how the lottery's become a little thing and who you are has become a big thing.
Well, that's why I was wanting to talk about the lottery, because I was noticing, yep. I noticed that when I think about, oh, I want to be abundant, and then I think about how,
yep,
which I know is often a mistake, and for me, I almost feel like I noticed that when I start thinking, well, it must be from the lottery, because that's the only thing that I can see it coming from.
Yes.
But then that seems to me to limit my creativity, because now I'm yep. not thinking about, oh, what could I do next that might create an opportunity for me? I'm kind of like tunnel visioning on, well, this is the only way.
Yep.
Yeah.
You've got two minds, let's say, right? Just for fun, let's pretend this is how it is. You've got two minds. Most people say, ooh, you have the conscious mind and the subconscious mind, and we'll talk about them, right? I'm going to say you've got two very different minds, and those two minds are the rational and the magical. And the rational mind has a job, and so does the magical, right? The rational mind does the rational things, balance the checkbooks, take a pee before the show, right? We've got a checklist of things, right? That's what the rational mind is really good at. However, Grandpa was in the Army, And he told me about these things they gave him in the Army called C rations. And a C ration was never fulfilling. It might be fun because he had some. He gave some to me when I was a little boy. And we cracked them open, used the can opener, and we ate like 50-year-old chocolate and whatever the heck else was in there. I mean, it didn't kill me. It didn't kill him. It was a lot of fun. But that's what a ration is. A ration isn't a meal. A ration isn't the full experience. We're going to ration it out. You get it? So the rational mind, if all the numbers came as at once, we couldn't balance the checkbook. But we put the bills in a stack, we put the incomes in a stack, and we balance the checkbook. We sequentially move through things. That's what the rational mind is good at. It rations experience into things that we can deal with. I don't want you to deal with happiness. Yeah, I toss out this phrase all the time. How much fun can you stand? From what I can tell, most people can't handle that much fun. And what I want you to do is double the amount of fun you can have in any particular day. How do you do that? By the way, have you noticed you've got a billion more views on your YouTube channel than I do, okay? You've also inspired me. I've gone up quite a bit since the last time we bumped into each other. So why do people watch your videos?
Because I talk to interesting people, I guess.
And you have fun doing it. There's nothing worse than seeing an interview with someone like Wayne Dyer or myself or whoever else. Yeah, I've seen you talk to a bunch of different people, and you have fun. You can hear it. There's nothing worse than the grumpy, welcome to Grumpy Radio. I mean, nobody wants to listen to that, right? Versus, what do the people want? Seriously, they want more play, they want more play time. And all this stuff, the imaginal act of you going into what is my ideal day. I promise you, if you keep exploring your ideal day, subconsciously, you will find a way for that to happen. I guarantee it. And you'll notice things. By the way, they did a study, right? Again, I don't know who these they people are. It's one of the 15 books that I read at a time. But they did this study, and they noticed what they did is they dropped $20 bills on the ground outside the shopping mall, right? And they noticed who found them and who didn't find them, okay? Now, the interesting thing was they did interviews both before and after. Okay, some people they interviewed before they found money, other people they interviewed after they found money. But the people who were more optimistic, that had a more bounce in their step, they walked faster, the people who were more alive found more money. Okay, and this is just money laying on the ground. And personally, my whole thing is I noticed that if I've got plenty of brain fuel, I eat a lot of good fats and so on, and if I've got a good attitude because I'm living from the states of loving puppy dad, loving husband, loving coach and trainer, those things, I look at everything and I go, my God, there's so much opportunity. I wish I had 40 hours a day because I'd just be geeking at all sorts of stuff and having all sorts of fun. As it is, I just do what I can until I pass out. But that's the thing, because if we're living from that state of knowing this is my ideal day, and I can live this if I choose to live this. I can live a little bit of it up right now, which is what you and I are doing. Trust me, I bet you this is part of your ideal day, am I right?
Sure, I love chatting with you. I've been looking forward to it all week.
Yeah, me too.
What day is it, Wednesday?
Yeah. This is what's fun to me. The more you do the stuff that's in your ideal day, and especially if it involves the component of service, things just get good. Mm. And that lottery win becomes almost non-essential. You may still hit it. You may get a trust fund. You may have somebody sponsor your YouTube channel in a way that you can't imagine. We don't know what the next 5 years of technology are going to bring. All I can say to people is get dirty now with what's here. That way when the new wave shows up, you can naturally move into it. But if you're really living from, I understand that I do create value in the world. I do take raw material being your time and my time and these Blue Yeti microphones. You're taking all this raw material and putting something together that blesses lives. These microphones don't bless lives unless they're being used. Mm-hmm. So all of this coming together, that's good fun. And that's where wealth comes from.
Cool. Oh, I see Emmett in the background. This is there's both of them.
Two. Hey guys. They're awesome.
They're so cute. I love watching other people with their dogs because it's like less responsibility. So kids and dogs, same thing. I enjoy other people's kids and other people's dogs.
Nice.
And then I go on with my day. So 20, what do I want to ask you next? I'm just so happy to have you on the line and get to see your face. It's really nice.
It's really, you know, it's cool. I've never shot at this angle. Right before the show, Victoria says, hey, why don't you bump over there because X, Y, and Z, she's getting ready for yoga. We might have a guy showing up to work on the cottage, installing the wood burner. We're getting a wood burner in the cottage today. How cool is this, right? Again, by the way, that's the power of vision. That's also where my name comes from. You know, what I do is I help people explore and live their vision. Right, the number 2020 is the name or the number of perfect vision. We've got this old. We live in this mud brick home, right? We live in Eltham, Victoria, Australia, which does not have soil. The only thing we have here is clay. And so, a lot of the hippies and artists that came into this part of the countryside, they built homes out of mud. You know, literally, they used shovels, got a backhoe, whatever it took. Can you still hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you, and the dogs seem to be wrestling or something.
So our home is literally built out of the mud on the property, right? So it's this awesome mud brick home. And before they built the home, which was built in the 70s, they built a cottage in the 60s out back, right? And the cottage in the 60s was built out of totally reclaimed materials, and so was a lot of our home, right? And so what we've been doing in the past 3 years is upgrading everything, getting it really solid so it's here in 150, 250 years. And it's really cool because the next time we talk, I'm probably going to be out in the cottage, which is going to have a cool little pot belly, which is something we've envisioned. So it's got these really cool windows, again, something we envisioned. We stood there and we looked, and it's like, the old windows that they put in there back in the 60s, it sort of looks like a chicken coop. If we got them out, what would we want? And we're looking and we're thinking like French doors. And suddenly these windows pop up that look like French doors. And we get three sets of windows like that put out through the whole thing. And it's totally transformed, again, because we've instead of going, it looks like a chicken coop. It's probably going to fall apart. Got to get rid of it. What do we do with all the crap? Instead, we said, no. Let's toss a roof on it and let's get some windows. And suddenly, oh, my God, we've got a lovely little office slash artist studio slash guest home right out back now. And it's coming together in the most beautiful way. But it's all vision. It's all because it's not because of what was there. It's because what was there we flirted with and brought something new forth. And that's our job here from what I can tell.
20... That your story about how it slowly is sort of unfolding reminds me of how if I'm feeling this way, I'm sure other people do too. And I almost think, well, I want to have this one picture and have it all. I think that's where the lottery thing comes from, is this instantaneous development, not a slow step-by-step unfolding, but boom, my life is transformed.
Yep.
So what's wrong with that, though?
I don't get anything's wrong with that, but that's sort of like manifesting a text to prove you're in a relationship versus manifesting a relationship, which we can get to a little bit of fun with that, which would naturally have you get texts. We live in a culture that is terrified of events. If you say April 15th to any U.S. citizen, instantly they will hold their breath because that's when taxes are due, right? Oh, okay. Yeah, we hate events in the U.S. and everywhere in this culture. We claim that we love them, but we've got this love-hate relationship with events. Marie, we have to have the conversation. Okay, that's an event. People hate events. On the other hand, If we experience success and wealth and relating as an emergent, something that just continues, That's good fun because literally, Victoria and I are not in a relationship. You and I are not in a relationship. That's a noun that doesn't really even exist. What we are is relating. You and I are relating. Victoria and I are relating. We happen to be married, which is cool. You and I happen to be friends, which is cool, not just show host and show hostette or something. I don't know. But we're relating. This is where the magic is, because if it was just husband and wife, that's dead. But the way us two dance and trip over each other and pick each other up, and that's good fun. Same here. So this dynamic relating, when we go from the noun, the lottery win, to the verb, where you create your ideal white day. By the way, I suspect you're much more likely to win the lottery when you're living from the state of your ideal day. Have you noticed that people that already have money tend to win a lot of money? And people that are already happy in relationships, they get along with everyone? People say, oh, the good guys are taken. Well, the good guys are taken because they're relating well. So if I relate, if I'm relating well, of course I'm going to be in a relationship, and I'm going to be able to talk to just about anyone, anytime, anywhere, because it's just relating is what I do. It's a verb. So if we go from shooting for these events, which terrify us, we all say we want them, but we're all terrified of them, because we're not an event. If we move from wanting an event to just living the verb that we choose to live, loving puppy dad, loving is the thing there, loving husband, loving teacher, that's where the fun is, because that quality just oozes over everything. And if I get grumpy, which I can and which I do at least once a day, do I get grumpy once a day, babe?
Yeah, maybe once a day.
Yeah, probably, right? but it doesn't have to last, because I get to go, am I being a loving husband, puppy dad, or coach? No, I'm being a knucklehead. And so I get to return to a verb, loving, and let that come back out, which is good fun.
Hmm. Twenty, I'm curious, you have a book about of healing your PTSD and yep. How you recovered from it. And I know for myself, I had just finished taking this facilitator training for a program that helps people recover from various issues, mental health issues, things like that. And I'm just kind of looking at my own journey of dealing with PTSD and depression and all of that. And for me, it's been a really long road of unfolding. And again, sure. It seems like all of these years, I've been looking for the thing that's going to fix me.
Yep. Look in the mirror.
Yeah. But what I'm starting to notice is it's the little steps over time, like we were saying, that have made the difference over time. And now I can look back. But I don't know what my question is. Like, it seems to just be this constant unfolding. As soon you talk about the onion of the layers, like as soon as you uncover one layer of the onion, you realize there's all this other crap underneath that you didn't even know that you had to deal with.
Wow. I wouldn't look at it that way.
Well, for me.
yeah, I got it.
It's like, oh, I didn't even realize I had this issue.
Oh, my God. We are issue-creating machines. On one level, we really are. If we didn't have issues and we didn't have... Could you imagine going to an amusement park where there were no rides?
That would be pretty lame, amusement park.
That'd be pretty lame, but that's what everybody asserts that they want. We came here, as far as I can tell, we came here to theme park Earth to experience theme park Earth. You can't be sick and well at the same time. You can't be rich and poor at the same time. You can't be single and married at the same time. We came here to experience all. You can't be a boy and a girl at the same time, for the most part. I guess there are some exceptions. But there's all these things, either ors, that we get to go, I can't have quiet dogs and noisy dogs at the same time. But I can be upset about it or okay with it. We've got all these lovely either ors that we can flirt with, and so many colors of the rainbow that we can flirt with. And I really get that's what we're here to do. This isn't about working off karma or learning lessons or, even though we're going to learn things here and we're going to have to, if you order pizza, you got to pay for it, right? Yeah, those are dynamics here. But from what I can tell, we're here to go, hey, babe, you want to get a puppy?
Yeah.
And then we see it. So we imagined, I've got these two little stuffed things, right? One's a sheep and the other one's a beagle. And we called them Right and Really. Those were our puppies. Years ago, and one of them came from New Zealand, the other one came from someplace else, but we had Right and Really, right? Those were our two little things. And we imagined having puppies and they would talk to each other and right? And then we get busy with life. We trade, we do things online and so on and so forth. And one day, Andrew stops by. And Andrew has this little puppy thing. And he sits the little puppy thing on the ground, and it takes a few steps, and it falls over, and it takes a few steps, and it falls over. And about a month later, Andrew calls up and says, hey, I love this little puppy thing, but it ain't working in my life right now. Would you like this little puppy thing? And we're like, sure, right? So, well, we had the conversation, right? We had the event. Yeah. So, yep. So we take the little puppy thing, and the little puppy thing gradually turns from this multicolored puppy thing into something that looks like a sheep. If you look at him, but he looks like a little sheep. He's just like this little stuffed thing that we got over in the other corner. So time goes on, right? And there's this dog, there are these ladies at the dog park, and they can tell we're loving puppy parents. We embody our states, right? Loving dad, loving husband, or loving puppy dad, loving husband, loving coach. So I'm embodying those states, and the ladies say, hey, look, Emmett needs a brother. It's like, yeah, he does. We got one for him. Oh, really? Okay. That means we got to have the conversation. Hey, babe, what? Oh, want to get another dog? Let's check him out, right? And so if you look at Bruce, he sort of looks like pretty darn close to the stuffed little beagle thing that we got, right? So here's the thing. We just had fun entertaining getting these two dogs Right and Really, right? And we had these two little stuffed things. And we embodied being loving puppy parents to the point where Andrew says, I want you to take my best friend. Wow. To the point where these ladies at the dog park say, look, there's this dog, and his owner's in the hospital, and she's not coming out. We'd like you to take him. Whoa. There we are embodying our ideal day with the puppies, with the phone calls, with all this stuff. And everyone and everything responds. We didn't know where either dog was coming from. We spent zero time looking for puppies. But we've got the two perfect puppies, and they just happen to look like the two little stuffed things that are over in the corner over there. That's how this stuff works. Just embody the qualities that you choose to have more of in your life. You know, whatever your ideal day is, whoever the ideal Marie is, will emerge. You embody it fully now, and then it emerges as it emerges, which is half the fun as far as I can tell.
Hmm. I love that. Thank you. We are speaking right now with Mr. 2020. You can find him at freeneville.com, and that's where you can get a bunch of free stuff about Neville Goddard. And did you want to give a quick summary in case someone's brand new to this whole Neville Goddard thing?
Cool. Neville was pretty cool. Neville was a guy that died back in 1972, if I'm correct. And for about 50 years, he taught a couple things like imagining creates your reality. But he didn't teach it like a lot of people do. What he taught was feeling is the secret. And my spin on that, one of the things that we keep discovering is what you really are here to do is to embody some qualities, to embody some limits. You know, literally, what limits do you want to embody while you're here? Do you want to embody rich? Do you want to embody poor? Do you want to embody, you know, whatever it is? And as soon as you start more consciously doing that, your whole life changes in some really cool ways. So check out the site. We give away a whole bunch of good stuff for about a week, and then you get a daily email for as long as you want them that says, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what we're exploring. Check it out. It's a quick read. Usually, most people read for about 4 minutes a day and just enjoy it. So that's it.
Cool. So 20, when you're talking about your ideal day, I think that's where I know I'm great at finding problems, right? You pointed this out to me before, like what I have this skill of finding what's wrong and where it's not going to work out. And for me, when I'm thinking about like the ideal day, I think I get too trapped up in like perfection. Like, would there just be this one magical day, or would it be the day like what my ideal kind of everyday regular day would be? Because those might be two different things. One day I might want to be on the top of the Eiffel Tower having, you know, an amazing day in Paris, but I probably wouldn't want that as my regular everyday thing.
Yes.
So when we're talking ideal day, can you say more about that?
Yeah, you betcha. So, would you eat breakfast? Would you cook your own breakfast, generally?
Generally, sure.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, your ideal day, you get up, you eat breakfast. You're not slamming down a Snickers bar and a Mountain Dew and going and sitting in traffic, right?
No.
Cool. By the way, some people, that's their ideal day. Let me slam down a bunch of sugar, sit in traffic, go to the stock exchange, trade all day, and have a stroke when I'm 30, right? Not my ideal of fun, but some people do that, right? So it's the little mundane things.
He's chewing on something.
He's chewing on something. So it's the little mundane things that I think that's the cool bit. Like, literally, when I say ideal day, I had a friend of mine one day. He wrote to me saying, I want to manifest that my car never needs gas. And I said, that's fine. You can do that. But your car's also not going to move, right? We live in this universe where your car needs something, whether it's gas or electricity or propane, whatever makes your car go, go, go. It needs something, right? It's where we live right now. But you could manifest a lifestyle where you don't have to drive anywhere. I don't have to drive anywhere. This is what I do for a living. Involves talking into a microphone, typing, doing one coaching call a day right now for the most part, and writing. That's it. I have a car so I can go to the dog park. I've got a car so I can go shopping. That to me that's part of my ideal day. So it's just those little things of noticing. And here's the big thing. If you really want to nail your ideal day, you got to get to your whys. My whys are real simple. Why do I do anything? I want more play time and more play mates. What I want to do is play with my wife. What I want to do is play with my puppies. What I want to do is play with you. What I want to do is talk to you in a way that invites you to play more. And playing more could be, how do you feel whenever you're sitting in traffic or waiting for the bus? Playing more could be, I don't need to sit in traffic or wait for the bus anymore. We all get to find something, but my why, everything I do, and you can quiz me on this, ask me about anything that you know that I do, and it all comes back to this little why. I want more playtime and more playmates. I just got one giving me a lick right now.
Aww. You want more dogs in your life? No, you're done now?
Well, we can only have two here where we live, but we've already talked about, you know, let's say the lottery win, or after a couple of financial goals are met, let's start a nonprofit where dogs can get saved. Where they can not just be put in little boxes, where they can be saved and trained and don't eat my outfit, right? Mm-hmm. and just loved, you know, because these little guys are just awesome. And, you know, wouldn't that be cool? If we started that up, by the way, why would I do that? So that other people have playmates, so that people that, you know, there's some young people and some older people that would love to work with dogs all day. So if we funded a little nonprofit that helped people take care of puppies, wouldn't that be cool? Again, more playtime, more playmates. That's why I do anything. So if you discover your whys, and in a way it all comes down to what the Buddha said, I'm here to alleviate suffering. You know, that's nice. But we can get so serious about alleviating suffering versus, I don't want you to eat my outfit, pal. He's going for my hat. So you can't eat my outfit. I love you. That's right.
Aww.
So what are your whys?
My whys. Well, that's a great question. I don't know.
God. By the way, I don't know what your experience was like, but I went to a Catholic high school, and Leo Blowney said to me, what do you want to do with your life? And I told him, Leo, I don't know. I'd like to blow up buildings and chase girls, right? And he's like, well, you know, yeah, you've already done one of those. I said, true. But what do you want to do with your life? And it's like, I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea what I want to do with my life. So I became a cop, right? But we're trained to answer what questions? What is the right answer, Marie? What time, what time, what place, when did this happen, what? We're never taught to take a peek at our whys. Why are we on the show today? I can tell you why. You know why I'm here. More playtime, more playmates. That's why I'm here. Why are you here?
That's a good question. Because I'm here because I had that thought about the lottery, because I was like doing some meditation type stuff and I'm goal setting, and I just noticed how limiting it felt.
Got it.
And then I thought, who would be a great person to talk with about this? And I thought Mr. 2020. So my why is because I have so many questions, I think.
Cool. Okay. Let's drill into that somewhat.
Okay.
I suspect part of your why has to do with energy, because anytime I talk to you, energy is showing up in some very unique ways. When I look at your post on Facebook, you'll share something like, hey, we're doing karaoke. Come on down. It'll be fun. Fun. Yay. Energy. Right. And it could be energy, fellowship, play. But the whys are always simple. The whys are never, I'm here to save the whales. No. Yeah. Even if you're passionate about, I must save the whales. That's not it. Yeah. Maybe really helping people appreciate the gift of life. Another one of my whys, if I had to drill into one, would be, we are here having the adventure of a lifetime. I want you to notice that. Oh, my God, this is not about washing dishes every day. We do wash the dishes every day, Victoria does. I cook every day. You know, that's important, but, God, it's fun. So the thing is, we're here having this adventure of a lifetime. Let's appreciate the gift we gave ourselves. Again, notice how that almost feels serious compared to more play time, more playmates. And it's the same, but there's more energy. There's more like flirtatiousness, more of what is reaching for what's possible whenever I mention playtime and playmates. Hmm. No, Bruce. Yeah, you're my buddy.
That's interesting. I've had this job as a concierge on the weekends for the last... almost a year, and the biggest my favorite part about it, I wanted more free time. I wanted a position where I could make a little bit of extra money and still have time to do things like I'll have an audio book on my MP3 player in one ear.
Yep. Nice.
So then I'm sort of like, making a little bit of money. But my favorite part of the job is visiting the dogs. And I don't have to look after the dog. I get to give them a little treat, spoil them, almost like the grandma, Like I get to spoil them and then send them off and not deal with any of the responsibility. And so it's been, really cool.
Let's bump into that. You love connecting with the dogs.
Yeah.
You love connecting with me. How much do you like when people give you when people put a comment on a YouTube video or send you an email saying I love this show? Do you like that?
Totally, yeah.
Do you reply back?
Usually, yeah. Well, I mean, the only time that I don't is sometimes I don't know about for you, but for me, I seem to attract a lot of negative comments on YouTube.
Well, there's some whack jobs out there.
Yeah.
Yay! Yeah. If you're not having market penetration, if you're not bumping into whack jobs, you are not having market penetration. In other words, your background noise.
Okay.
So you're out there having fun. You're reaching out. You're bumping into some goofballs. Good on you, right? Yeah, that's part of the game.
Okay.
So and there's the thing. You like to connect. So if I had to start guessing at your whys a little bit, there's something about this conscious connection. There's probably something about learning as well. So you get to hit your whys, and when you find your whys, you really get, you know what I really want in life? I want to connect with people. I want to touch and be touched. I want to learn something every day. And when you find those, whatever the means are, they will take care of themselves. Maybe you write a book and become a best-selling author, and there's your lottery win. Maybe you meet a multi-billionaire on your part-time job who goes, you know what, this chick, you know what she needs? For whatever reason, she needs a break. She needs a gift. I have no idea why I'm giving her $100,000 or $1 million or whatever. We don't know. But if you're really, if you know you're wise, you know what to say no to. And if you know you're wise, if you know you're wise, you become so much easier to connect to.
Hmm. Kate, can you say more about the knowing what to say? Because I think that that's one of the challenges that a lot of people, including myself, have. Like, I have so many ideas and so many things that I could be doing that are all great ideas, but yep. There's a lack of focus. And so I'm still kind of at the stage where I still don't know what to say no to yet. I'm learning.
So when we're in what, when we should be in why, it's a little confusing and exhausting. What do I say no to? I get to notice all the time, does this help me have more play time and more playmates? Does this help me help people have more play time and more playmates? I love Amway soap, right? They make this lovely soap, SA8, and you wash your clothes in it, and if you have any skin allergies or sensitivities, they go away, right? It doesn't bother you. So it's a little pricey for soap, but I love Amway SA8. I will not become an Amway distributor because even though I could save some money and I could build a downline and all that good stuff, I have no interest in it because it doesn't help me have more playtime or more playmates. And it doesn't help me help people have more playtime and more playmates. What I want for you is I want you to have more playtime and more playmates. Why? Because it'll give to your why. It has to. That's why we're talking. People that don't want more playtime or more playmates, they don't listen to me. They don't want to be around me. Because their why is something different. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to suffer or something. Cool, go for it. Yeah, yeah, not my gig this time. Yeah, been there, done that.
Mm. Well, speaking of suffering, I think that's, again, bringing it back to that wanting everything all at once. So much of my journey up until fairly recently was trying to find a way where things would be easy, where I wasn't going to have the, you mentioned the whole chop wood, carry water, is a Zen, you know, before enlightenment. And I was kind of like, well, I want to not have to chop wood and carry water. I want to just like exist like a lump and not have any challenges or just everything just be easy. And that's not life. That's not the experience.
I don't get you want that.
No. Well, that's what I thought that I want. Like,
I betcha. We all do. We all go through something like that. But then what do you do? Have you noticed when people get on airplanes, right? So yeah, I spent like a year getting on airplanes. And when you get on an airplane, you sit down and how you doing? Yeah. And the conversation eventually gets around to what do you do? Right? Always. You go to the bar. Yeah. What do you do? By the way, do people really care about your job? They don't care about their job. They really don't care about your job. But what they really want to know, the question that they want to ask, but they don't know how, is how do you serve? How do you serve? There's the thing. My friend Russell, he's the fellow who's done heaps of work on our home and cottage. Russell just loves the ancientness here, the earth here. The qualities that we have here, the peace that we have here. And I could say Russell's a builder, and that's part of it. But what Russell really loves is this essence, the quality, the appreciation of beauty. So I wouldn't tell someone, yeah, let Russell put your bathroom in, he's the cheapest. But if someone was building like a back deck and really wanted to spend some quality time smoking cigars or drinking scotch or sitting there with the grandkids, I'd say Russell has to build your deck. Even if he charges you 10 times as much, he must build your deck. You get where I'm coming from? Russell's why. His what is he's a builder. His why is something deeper. And odds are if he was busy, he'd turn down building a shower. And he'd really love to build that deck. There's the thing. We keep coming back to that. The more you find that and the more you can not even put it into words, the easier it is for you to live. The why is always going to have something to do with service. It's not just me partying all the time. I could care less about partying all the time. But it's about me and Victoria and the pups and our dog park friends and wow. And it just keeps rippling out our clients, our readers. Every time I answer an email, it's only for one reason. I want you to have more play in your life. Everyone's at war. Have you noticed this? By the way, your crackpots are at war. They're not even at war with you. They're just at war. You just happen to show up because you're putting your stuff out. And they go, oh, here's someone I can launch a rocket at. Because they're too busy being at war. And the best thing you can do with someone at war is to just withdraw attention from them. Love them. And... yeah. Emmett. Good on you. Yeah. More play.
So when I hear the, you talk about the why, I think how. How do I find my why? How do I get there? How? Is that?
It really comes to speeding up. We've been taught to be dull-witted. The why is so fast, and it's always so simple. Anyone who really knows me knows, what do I want to do? God, I just want you to lighten up, dude. I just want you to skip. Don't hobble down the road. Skip, right? I want you to do a little bit of something that invites that joy back into your life. Because, you know, whether we're here once or 100 times or whether we're here for 20 years or 400 years, it doesn't matter. What are you doing with the moment? Yeah, what are you giving? What am I giving to my dogs? What am I giving to my wife? What am I giving to you and the listeners? That's how simple the why is.
We are talking with Mr. 2020, and you can find him at freeneville.com. This is Synchronicity. Or you might be listening on CITR or watching on YouTube. I'm going to post the link to Mr. 2020's site in the comments on youtube.com/Marie Bernard of this video. And yeah, if you are enjoying it, subscribe, share this video, podcast, wherever you're listening. So 20, I want to ask about, we're talking about the why, we're talking about serving, and it makes me think of my boyfriend, the comedian, who... I think you might have said hi once, but he still hasn't done an interview with us. We're both in service to the world. We want more happiness, more lightness, more love and joy, and yet some people make a lot of money doing that, and others do not. Like.
Yes.
Canadian comedians, for the most part, don't make a lot of money. So what is the difference between those people who are out there playing and serving in that way and are making heaps of money and people who are doing the same thing and maybe even are more skilled at it and making not very much? What's the difference?
I got to unfortunately go in 4 minutes. I just saw the time.
Okay, no worries.
But let's nail this bugger. Ready?
Okay.
I see two things. One, systems. Two, what are you imagining? Almost every artist I know imagines that artists don't make money. And they'll say things like, you know what, we really need to support the artists. We need to support the arts. And it's like, no, we don't. Paint something that someone wants to buy. You know, Victoria and I have bought several paintings off of local artists because it's stuff we want to buy. I could care less about supporting artists. I want to buy a painting. And I'll pay what it's worth. Yeah, and I won't go back and forth. I just want to know, what do you want for it? Let me give you money, right? So there's something about an abundance mindset. Whatever we do, we really got to bring that in. And the second thing is, And gosh, we could really do a couple different things on this. Systems. I love talking to people. Pretty obvious, right? But I've got my day scheduled in a very particular way. I know when I got to get on and get off the phone, so on and so forth. But it's really, there's something vital about building in systems to help you make money, especially if you're doing something that you love. And again, that's a whole different topic. But the short version, yeah, if we skip systems for now, you've got to be willing to accept that you can make a ton of money. You can make all that you need doing something that you love, period. And a lot of people, they want to struggle for money. We worship struggle in this culture versus, you know what? Well, why not do something that you love for money? My mechanic, by the way, he loves working on cars. His hands are black. He's whiter than I am, and his hands are black. And when I talk to him, he lights up. Oh, you talk to him about changing transmission fluid, and he lights up. And it's like, that's my guy, right? And guess what? He's busy all the time. Why is he busy? Why is he making some good ching? He just loves it. He also has a computer system that tells him what to bill and make sure he's got, you know, a wife that tells him to make sure you get paid. But he does what he loves, and he knows that he can make good money at it and that he's good at it. So that's it.
Thank you so much for your time, 20. I know you've got to get going. So is there anything you want to say before we say goodbye?
I just want to thank you for hooking up again. Let's do it again a lot sooner.
Okay.
And I appreciate all that you do. And I noticed the crackpots that show up on your pages once in a while as well. So just blow them off.
We're going to get comments after that comment.
I know. I'll get them too. Yeah, trust me. They'll go from your page to my page, and I'll say, oh, yeah. You know what? I don't care. I'm busy creating something fun. You can argue with me about it, but you'll find that I'm not there. I'll go out and do something, right? Because life's meant to be lived. It's not meant to be argued about. So thanks, Marie.
All right. Have a great time with Victoria and the doggies.
Definitely.
All right. Definitely. Thank you so much, 2020, for being with us. Thank you for listening, watching, engaging with us. I want to send you lots of love. Be well. Namaste.
Sorry. See ya.
Bye. Have a great day.
Music Waste is back again. On June 2nd to 5th, all across East Vancouver, Music Waste and Art Waste are presenting independent art and culture makers. Featuring Swim Team, Jay Arner, Ace Martins, So Loki, Stefana Fratilla, Late Spring, Pale Red, Morning Coup, TV Ugly, Data Plan, Glad Rags, MOSFET, and so much more. Check out Music Waste on Facebook or head over to musicwaste.ca for all the information and where to get tickets. This Canada Day, celebrate by making a difference with the Run Canada Day at Westbrook Village. This 5K or 10K run in Pacific Spirit Park is the only run-walk event in Vancouver on Canada Day, with a free barbecue and a 4-foot cake afterwards. Register at runcanadaday.com, and all the proceeds from the event will be donated to Canadian Diabetes and the BC Children's Hospital. UBC students, make sure to use the promo code RUNWESTBROOK to get a $5 discount off the registration price. Come celebrate and run with your community this Canada Day. On Sunday, June 5th, the Vancouver Peace Choir and Vox Humana Chamber Choir join forces to present choral music that spans a century. Celebrating the 101st anniversary of its composition, over 65 voices will perform Rachmaninoff's Vespers, as well as Three Songs of Faith by Eric Whitaker. Also featuring special performances of Agnus Dei, Ave Maria, Immortal Bach, and more. The concert starts at 2:30 on June 5th at Holy Trinity Anglican Church in Vancouver. Tickets are available now online at brownpapertickets.com or at the door. Visit vancouverpeacechoir.org for more information. Vancouver Taiwanese Film Festival is a nonprofit arts and cultures initiative that has become one of the largest Canadian film festivals focusing on Taiwanese cinema. This year, the festival has the goal of promoting an exchange of culture between Canada and Taiwan with a theme of Past Forward. Preliminary events, including a movie marathon, will be held from May 16th to May 27th. The official festival runs from June 10th to 12th at the Van City Theatre.